There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday, an extra special Wednesday. Four or five times a year, I get to broadcast from my favorite place to do a radio show, and that is aboard the USS Alabama, the Mighty A here at Battleship Memorial Park. So I'm going to be here, and on these days, we have the Scuttlebutt Radio Network taking over at 1 o'clock, and I believe actually here in the boardroom, we have enough for a quorum. I'm looking around. This may be the fullest I've ever seen it as we go to the broadcast, so it's a lot of fun coming up over the next 2 hours. Reminder, as if you needed it. But if you're new around here, get in touch with the show. The phone line and the text line, the same digits, 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. And also with the FM Talk 106.5 app. You can always leave us one of those talkback messages just where you see the microphone icon on the front page of the app. If you press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. All right. Yes, without delay and in celebration of a, well, I'll ask Commander Fields here if we have a full quorum. Does this mean we can start our broadcast?
Absolutely, Sean.
Okay, good, good. Thanks for having us here. This is, yeah, it's a pretty full. Genevieve, what do you think? You sign off on this that we can start? All right. And a lot to talk about here. And Genevieve Harris with the battleship and, of course, Commander Fields here, the boss man at the battleship. And we just got in a big discussion of what it's been since last time I saw you. Because I didn't in December, I didn't see you, but I saw you Veterans Day correct. To now. The number of things that have happened here, it's a lot. It's been busy.
It absolutely has been busy, Sean, and thanks, as always, for spending some time with us here today at Battleship Park. We always enjoy having you here.
I want to get you that mic a little bit closer there on your... Okay, there you go. Yeah, that's a little bit better. But, the you know, we talk about what's coming up, and it's a mix of what's already happened here recently with the eyes of the nation on the Alabama and what's going on in Mobile with a trip from... The Secretary of the Navy.
Absolutely.
What does that mean to somebody like you? I mean, a Navy guy that...
As a naval officer retired, wow, what an amazing visit we had. And it all happened very, very rapidly in that it must have been probably somewhere around New Year's Eve that we got the call that we were going to have a special visitor come.
I mean, this is one thing when you hear, like, the preacher's coming over and everything. You got to get everything tied up around the house or grandma's coming. The Secretary of the Navy is coming to the battleship.
Absolutely, and it was an honor to have him here, and I'm very proud of everyone who made this thing work, from the Secretary's staff, of course, our team members here. I can't say enough about what they do each and every day that makes this park special. So the Secretary's visit here, we had a live telecast on Fox News,
yep,
and
right
we
there,
have heard from everyone around the country that had a chance to... see us, USS Alabama, Battleship Memorial Park, and all it stands for. What an honor.
No, it was really pretty fantastic watching that, going, oh, there's my home, and having the eyes of the nation. Although, I will say, people from, I imagine, like we talk about foreign countries, but every state comes through here every year, right? You get somebody, Genevieve, don't you think?
Definitely. You get a wide variety of people come from all over.
So there are people, but then the people who didn't come before now went, now they're going to be traveling I-10 going, that's the place that was on TV.
As a matter of fact, one of the visitors I met following his visit came, and I love saying hello to our visitors. And he saw that telecast, the live telecast, and he was telling all of his friends and family back home, hey, this is the place I'm going to see here in about 2 days.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, you got it promoted. Also, if I'm out here, usually that means we're pretty close to a living history drill.
Yeah, this Saturday, actually.
Okay, this Saturday, Living History Drill. If people have not, we've talked about it every time I'm here, but if somebody hadn't listened before, a Living History Drill is what? Like, to the uneducated, what's going to happen?
So that it's at around 1 o'clock, they'll do battle stations. They may do a flyover, that's TBA, depending on the mechanics of the aircraft. But that day is full of, we have volunteer or reenactors come around, sit around the ship, explain to details of what happened during that time. So they dress up in their gear, and it just gives you a full, like, vision of what was, how things were back then.
And it's amazing, too, when you talk about these reenactors, they truly live their parts. I know for several of these, you can stop somebody and say, like, you know, who are you? Well, I'm so-and-so, and here's what I would have been doing. Here's, like, it's not just I'm here standing on the deck of the Mighty A. I made this, and I did this.
Yeah, they get in full character, which is so fun to see.
It is fun. Because, I mean, like, you know, I brought my son out here one time, too, because, I mean, textbooks will show you, we've got to go to school, learn the textbook stuff. But when you see it actually happening,
it's a total different. It really just brings so much, like, life.
Right.
In different perspective of what you thought things were.
So, I mean, it's great for the kids. It's great for the big kids like me as well. You've told us in the past, kind of the, like, if we're going to schedule coming out Saturday, what time should we get here to get a good parking spot and then be where we need to be when it all happens?
I would say the best time to really start coming is around 10 a.m. That way you can still go around the ship and tour, and then around 1 o'clock, you can start, you'll see the flyover and the call the station duty around 1 o'clock on the bow.
Okay, so there you got your orders. Commander, you think that works?
That works.
Efficiency of running this place, efficiency of how that works. Also, this is, you and I were talking about it, Commander, that this weekend Super Bowl, we got to think about Clydesdales. Y'all got the Clydesdales coming here?
The Clydesdales are coming to Battleship Park.
Yeah. How'd you get that done?
I give all credit to our marketing
director. First Brett Baer, now you got the Clydesdales. Okay.
Yeah, it's been a while. They were here a while ago, and they decided to come during this time around Mardi Gras. So
there it is. Because, you know, we know Clydesdales. They love moon pies and beads and all that stuff. So they want to be here for that. So when is that?
So the forces will be here on the 9th, but the public viewing will start on February 11th, where they can come and see the horses, take pictures, and
they're
get a
huge
full photo out with them.
You said you hadn't. I've been around them before.
No, I have never seen them in person. So I'm
it's
excited.
Ridiculous how big these horses are. I mean, it's like there's horses, and then you put another horse on top of them, and then you got a Clydesdale. This is wild. So Living History Drill this weekend, then we can see on the 11th, we can see the Clydesdales.
Yeah,
are in
and
time.
And they have some, all the rest of the dates are on the website, so there's different time frames you can come and see them.
Excellent. Also, let's got to talk about this time, snowbird season here. We've talked about this in the past. Folks that have a little extra time during the week, retired folks, you've got activities for them.
Oh, yeah, we have our guided tours on Tuesdays and Thursdays, 9 and 1 p.m., they're actually starting to pick up, so we've got a lot of afternoon snowbirds come and visit us.
Are y'all doing the lectures like last year?
Yes, we are. It's the first lecture. We'll be on February 12th.
Okay. So describe this. You're going to get like an in-depth discussion on some element here.
Yeah, so we'll do in-depth discussion. I'm sorry, today. I can't speak today. Discussion about different topics of World War II. We'll have discussions about the USS Drum, POW, MIA, and then the home front exhibit. So
excellent. This is fantastic. And this is all going on right now in the backdrop of Mardi Gras. So maybe if you're going to be, you're usually not in this area of town, you're going to be now for Mardi Gras, make a little pass through Battleship Memorial Park and then go hit the parade. It's going to be good.
That sounds like a great plan here at the park.
Commander Fields, thanks for having us back out.
Thank
Genevieve,
you,
as always, thank you very much.
You.
Coming right back, more Midday Mobile. I've got Cameron Smith going to join us here in about 15 minutes. We'll get to your text and calls at 251-343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile, live aboard the USS Alabama. Favorite place to do a radio show. Cool place. to sit down and talk to y'all. Get text in at 251-343-0106. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my man, Trey. 18-plus years getting junk gone in Mobile and Baldwin County. And if you made a promise to yourself, you made a New Year's resolution that you were going to get organized, right, in 2026, you're going to do that. As I tell you, the pro tip is easier to organize fewer things. So get rid of the junk. And that junk could be at your office, a storage unit you're paying on every month. It could be inside the house, could be outside the house. I mean, Trey and his crew will tackle big jobs, above ground pools, swing sets, trampolines, storage buildings. They can take those down as well. So if you're getting a property ready to sell, or you just bought one and you want to get something done on that, get with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Easy to make the appointment. Pick up the phone. Their name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Or you can go to the website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. But either way, they're going to find a day that that works for you and a time that works for you. Set a good old-fashioned appointment. All you got to do when they show up is just point at the stuff that you want gone, and they get to work and get it done right then. So check them out. Once again, online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or pick up the phone and give them a call, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Right, this is a story came out. Jeff was talking about it earlier. I know Dan and Dalton did as well, and of course, Jeff wrote the story over at 1819news.com. But, yeah, let's take a look at AL1 here and kind of the horse race now in the Republican primary. It says in the story here, in August, a Signal survey, and Signal as a group, a survey group, has been pretty good at doing surveys in Alabama. Certain companies are better at different states. I don't know why, but Signal has always been pretty good at Alabama. It said in August, a Signal survey showed Jerry Carl, U.S. former Representative Jerry Carl, ahead in his first congressional opponents, ahead of his first congressional district opponents, State Rep. Rhett Marquez and U.S. Army veteran Joshua McKee. According to a poll of likely Republican voters conducted by AM Research Group on behalf of Carl's campaign, right? So this is one he commissioned. So that was in August. This one, obviously, here in February. The former 1st Congressional District Representative still has a commanding lead over his opponents. So he was leading back in August, and now it looks like that lead has become bigger. It's the poll conducted from January 31st through February 2nd, so very, very recent, with a margin of error of plus or minus 6.1%, showed Carl with an even bigger lead over the field, which now includes Marquez, McKee, Austin Sidwell, Jimmy Deese, and John Mills. Despite the primary election being 100 days away, is that what it is, 19? Yeah, I guess we're 100 days away. Survey found that nearly half of the respondents were still undecided, right? That's always the most popular candidate is undecided. But other than that, so 44% of the people in this poll were undecided. Then next on that, Jerry Carl, 43%, and it drops big time down to the second position. Rhett Marquez was 7%, Joshua McKee with 2%, Jimmy Deese was 2%, Austin Sidwell with 1%, John Mills 1%, James Richardson with 0%. Jeff goes on to say in the story, the survey appears to reflect what has been consistently shown in earlier polling data this year and late last year, conducted by different interested parties throughout the state. It also showed Carl, Marquez, and McKee above water in favorability rankings. Carl is also ahead by a wide margin, despite Marquez's fundraising advantage that was discussed. I guess we discussed that last week, the money coming in. And Rhett Marquez has the backing of Senator Britt, which that probably helps a lot when it comes to money. It said here, fundraising totals for the last quarter of last year, so 2025, show Alabama's fundraising here. On the Senate side, you had Barry Moore, who was obviously currently still the rep for AL1, but running for Senate, reported raising $580,000. He has the most cash on hand to start the year with $842,000 plus. Morgan Murphy had the largest total in the fourth quarter, with which was $1,105,000. Total included $350,000 in bank loans. And Marshall, you know, who has been, I'd say, the long front runner until the endorsement maybe came out for Barry Moore. Marshall had cash on hand of $640,000, and then you got some others in this mix. Jared Hudson, he's raised $294,000 in this, and Rodney Walker, who will be on the show. He's called. He's going to be on the show with us at some point soon, running for Senate, reported self-funded total of $221,000 raised in that fourth quarter. But in AL1, what we're talking about here, Rhett Marquez has $381,416.94 cash on hand. His total is, that's what he raised in fourth quarter. Cash on hand, $775,221. Former Representative Jerry Carl raised $288,350 with cash on hand of $427,769. And then on down the list, the numbers are lower. So, you know, it's going to be another million-dollar-plus Alabama congressional race in the mix here if you look at those numbers lined up. Does the money always mean? No, it doesn't. But it goes a long way to doing this. But Jerry Carl is still at not just this latest poll, but it follows a trend started back in August and then some late last year and to this latest poll that it's not even close right now in the polling. Now, I would be interested to see if we broke this polling apart from the different parts of AL1. You know, this crazy gerrymandered district that goes from state line to state line, from Mississippi to Georgia. If we saw what those numbers look like in the wire graphs, because, you know, former Representative Carl did well here in the last cycle. He did well, but Barry Moore did so much better in his home area there in the Wiregrass that it was 3-4-1 votes for Moore over Carl, where here it was more like 2-1 Carl over Moore. And the numbers, well, you saw what happened. Jerry Carl losing to Barry Moore the last time. It doesn't look like it in the mix this time. It looks like right now, I mean, a lot can change. There's 100 days here. A lot can change. But 43% in this latest poll, 43% Jerry Carl. Rhett Marquez, who was kind of been anointed as the other player in this, the other contender for AL1, he's at 7%. And that's, you know, if it was, I mean, this is a large gulf between these two numbers. And, yeah, I do realize you got 44% undecided. Obviously, if they would all break, you know, all break to Rhett Marquez, it'd be a different story, but I don't know that you have ever seen that. So it's just to line those up. By the way, too, I think we're going to get Congressman Carl on the show with us maybe tomorrow, and more to talk about with him then. Also, let's take a look at Montgomery, what's happening here. This from NBC 15, Alabama legislature awards a final passage to Save Our Bay ban on Mobile Bay mud dumping. This is the bill we talked about with Senator Elliott. Rhett Marquez, actually, we just talked about, he's sponsoring this in the House, and then Senator Elliott in the Senate. It said here the Alabama legislature awarded final passage yesterday to the Save Our Bay bill that bans the environmentally unsound practice of mud dumping in Mobile Bay. And here's the language. This came from Senator Elliott. Said, as Baldwin County State Senator, protecting Mobile Bay and preserving the environment that makes our area such a special place to live, work, worship, and raise our families rank among the highest priorities. With passage of this bill, we have shielded the commercial and sport fishing industries, ensured our waters remain clean and clear, and protect our important oyster beds, seagrasses, and other aquatic life that mud dumping harms. Those of us who reside in Baldwin County live in the most awesome place on earth, and it's up to us to keep it that way. Passage of Save Our Bay legislation will help ensure that our little piece of paradise remains a paradise. It goes on to talk about this more, but one of my questions here has been, and I talked to Senator Elliott, is how we are with the state law, and he explained some of it. The way MPOs work for road work, there's something similar at a state level for environmental, because the Corps is federal, right? That's why I was interested in what Senator Britt was doing. Is going to take away the funding for doing the thin layer placement and stop it that way. But that thing, I mean, it's what, 70%, I think, of all dredged sediment was going to go to beneficial use, and that left 30%. For thin layer placement coming from the federal side. But this ban at a state level, I don't just reinforces it. I don't know. But it is something that has been done. What teeth it has, once again, maybe I'll have Senator Elliott come back on and explain it more. But the teeth is my question. You've got a federal law. You got federal Corps of Engineers. Now you have a state law that's going to say you can't do that. We know how it works when the feds get challenged by the state, right? Well, we'll talk about this with Cameron Smith. He's my guest coming up next right here on Midday Mobile, live aboard the Mighty A at Battleship Memorial Park.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, so welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along, and we are live aboard the USS Alabama here at Battleship Memorial Park. Always fun doing this show until 1 o'clock, and then Tom Claxton and the Scuttlebutt Radio Network taking over. Right now, let me check in with my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, and let's take a little tour through precious metals today, Anna.
Well, right now, silver is and gold are still climbing. I think gold hit over 5,000 earlier today, but it started to come back down again. And silver's hanging around like $85, $87 per ounce.
Yeah, which is, once again, we had this discussion from what happened last week with that correction or people taking profits there. This is, you know, people say, well, it was down 1.3% or whatever. I said, did y'all just expand it back to the beginning of, you know, just go 365 days earlier and see how much it's appreciated? So, I mean, it's like the total here has been huge.
Oh, yeah. I mean, silver basically tripled in value, and I think gold doubled in value since last year, basically. And we are buying, you know, 1 ounce silvers or 10 ounce silver bars. We are buying silver again, and sterling silver flatware as far as forks and like spoons, but no tea sets or anything like that.
Okay, so just the utensils.
Yeah, the refineries are starting to slowly start buying stuff, but there's certain things they just don't want because it requires extra work to process.
Okay. Well, if people are looking to sell or buy or just come get an education on precious metals, tell them how to find you.
We're at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can also call us. Phone number here at the shop is 251-725-1590.
Anna, thank you. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good.
All right, there goes Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, and we bring on my buddy. Read his work in the Tennessean, listen to his music with Wasted Bacon, check out the movie The Ballad of Davy Crockett, and if you go to his social media, he endured the Tennessee ice and snowstorm by putting on Olympic events with downhill. Nobody broke out a knee. Did anybody break a knee? Any of the beast, or you get hurt in that?
No one was injured in the flying downhill at high speeds. I don't know how, but it nobody was hurt.
Good. So there was fun had and no injuries that would require a trip to the orthopedic, you know, place.
Yeah, we know the orthopedist really well. So at this point, one more trip, plus or minus, doesn't really matter.
Okay, I just want to say this as we get to our discussion started. Here we are, another millions and millions of pages. We got over 3 million pages of Epstein files released. I'm still not in them. It looks like everybody else is in them, but I'm not in them, man. Did you check for your name?
You know, I'm clear. Thankfully, I didn't go to Rape Island, so that was a win. I just imagine that your boss comes in and says, hey, is this all of the Epstein files? And you say, yep, sure. And then a couple months later, you come back and say, no, there were actually 3 million more.
That is it. It was this latest dump that they did on Friday. It was 3 million pages.
Right. Like, no, that's everything. Everything, guys. Just so that you know, we're just sharing everything. We're being fully transparent. We found another 3 million pages. One, I don't know how you have that many pages in any investigation, but, I mean, come on. This is ridiculous.
And I think I heard Dalton talking about this morning, and it made some sense that there's in these pages, there's stuff that's not even what somebody would think it would be. It's just like everything that had to do with Epstein, right? I mean, there's not all of it's the emails back and forth. Some of it's completely innocuous. But, yeah, the online sleuths have found new stuff in there. And they found stuff that had come out before.
Yeah, and this is the perfect example of where advances in technology with AI, you can just set an AI on top of all these files and get through it pretty fast and say, hey, is there anything interesting here? And that's been what's reported in the news. Again, don't tell me your commitment to transparency when, one, you're late complying with the law, and two, you acted as if, you know, you'd been transparent and given most of this stuff up. You clearly hadn't. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, 3 million pages doesn't fall behind the file cabinet. It's not like, oh, dude, I'm sorry, that one folder. I just found it.
Yeah, I mean, that's an entire building full of paper. So, just saying.
So then, of course, the question is, the follow-on question is, what happens next? You know, I mean, there's the internet's alive with the Bill Gates stuff, the new Bill Gates stuff, this, that, and the other. But do we see, I mean, do we see anybody get frog marched here? What do we see?
I don't think so, but that's truly shocking that I don't think that.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at, we know young women were trafficked. We know powerful people were engaging those young women in inappropriate, possibly illegal ways. And yet with the full power of the federal government, I don't think we've arrested anybody else. I mean, Maxwell and Epstein. But other than that, you're telling me that everybody else was completely above board and it was only them? That defies logic and common sense. And so the moral of the story here is be rich and powerful and you will be protected. Otherwise, if you're just a normal like us, good luck.
And I do think, and by the fact, you know, other than it looks like Prince Andrew and Bill Gates having a bad day, you know, a bunch of others are not. And you're right. I think that is one of the things that drives us. People who don't get it, they're like, why are the American people so focused on this? Obviously, because there were minors that were injured in this and hurt. At the same time, it's exactly what you said. They get this idea that, you know what, there's two sets of justice out there. You know, there's justice for us and then for them. And this kind of reinforces it.
Yeah, it 100% does. And we are all about right now enforcing immigration laws, and we should be. But the idea that we are, you know, doing the things that we're doing to, you know, let's face it, most of the immigrant population, they're just rank and file normal people, and it's you better follow the law. And at the same time, it's like, well, but if you're powerful and you're on an island exploiting minors, we're less committed to the law, you know? And I think it's shameful. I think the fact that we clearly, then by we, I mean the United States government, had a lot more information than they were letting on. And the fact that we still haven't seen those prosecutions. Normally, I don't love, you know, criminal justice is big government. It is the government restricting your freedoms because of your conduct. In this case, the law is not vague on either state or federal levels about what happens when you exploit minors and you traffic minors and you do so across state lines. Like, this isn't stuff that is hard to prosecute, particularly with those tomes of evidence. And again, you're telling me that it's just two people that were doing criminal activities? Nobody actually believes that.
Yeah, and Michael on the text line says, I think a bunch of conspiracy theorists deserve an apology. The released Epstein stuff basically completely proved that he was either a Mossad agent or at the very least an asset for Israel or Mossad. Although I saw it spun the other day that he was, maybe he's working for Putin. Maybe he worked for all of them.
Yeah, I mean, he was really good at getting dirt on powerful people, so he probably should have. I mean, that is a textbook model for, hey, use something scandalous and illegal to create leverage, and there you go. But wait a minute. We said scandalous and illegal, and yet the people that participated get a get out of jail free pass? Like, how does that work? Because for the rank and file Americans, there's no get out of jail free on this type of offense. There's just not.
Okay, I'm going to read this text here, and I will default to the one that actually has a law degree, not the guy that just took the LSAT. But texter said, but can you prosecute people who committed crimes on an island that's not in the United States? Counselor, go ahead. Let it rip.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if you're...
yes.
I mean, there are a million different ways to reach folks. The idea that Rape Island is somehow outside of the jurisdiction and therefore just hands up, can't do anything. Well, you know, you have to transport people from somewhere. There's a whole lot of entanglements. It's not just where's the geography of the island. It's how did those young women get there? I'm assuming they weren't all island natives. They don't seem to be. and
correct. They're American citizens. And also at the same time, there's precedent set where Americans have gone on to other places in the world and done this same kind of stuff and come home and been busted.
Yes. And the idea that you are
just because you weren't here,
you're rich and you figure a spot where the government isn't. I mean, come on. Really?
Yeah, so there's the counselor's opinion on it. All right, let's take it to only 4-day shutdown. I'm glad I didn't go to the prediction market and go, which, by the way, that's the new thing for, I guess, you know, I mean, if you just whatever's happening in Washington, go to the prediction markets and make your bet. But the 4-day shutdown, they had, it was pretty interesting, 21 Democrats crossed the aisle, 21 Republicans crossed the other way on this, but they got it passed.
Yeah, I think that the appetite for another lengthy shutdown just wasn't there. We'll see how, you know, that shakes out. We I don't know if you know this, Sean, but we have to pass appropriations bills every single year.
And you do, really?
The fact that we are just
surprised,
struggling to do anything is shocking to me. And with the margins, you know, again, a seat thinner in the House of Representatives, I think Republicans have to have a chalkboard session and say, guys, we are sucking wind to the point that we're in danger of turning Texas truly purple. We need to stop just saying we're winning like never before and actually figure out a game plan to not get totally wiped out in November, because right now I don't think that Republicans have a game plan. And we've taken issues like immigration where we were way up and made them more of a toss-up issue. We need to go back to the basics, go back to the things we know that are succeeding with the American people, and double down. We do not need to keep goofing around and hoping that things will be fine. Otherwise, you're going to have a very, very lame Trump for 2 years.
Yeah, and look, I mean, obviously, as history holds, with a couple of exceptions, the party that's out of power in the White House does well in the midterm. So we know that's okay. That's the baseline we're working off of. But with, you know, your time in Washington and your connections, kind of looking at that map, how much is in play? I mean, is it neck and neck for the Republicans to remain in control, or there's just no chance? What do you think?
I would be shocked if the Republicans retain the House. I'm thinking more like if we just keep down the trend line, we're going to probably see a 40-seat swing or something absurd like that.
What? That big?
Yeah, yes. A massive wipeout if we don't start course correcting and not just saying, hey, you know, whatever. I mean, the Epstein files are a good example. This was transparency. It was promised. It was something that the base really cared about. Whenever you have like an issue like that that just languishes, where you don't do what you say you're going to do, your base gets less enthusiastic. And Minnesota alone has supercharged the Democratic base. Mm-hmm. They are coming out. They are, do not worry about it. They are coming out. And so if Republicans are not equally as enthusiastic, it'll be a wipeout. And I think the only saving grace is the Senate map is really bad for Democrats. It favors Republicans heavily. But again, a strong enough bad cycle, you could put the Senate in play too. I think the best hope I have right now is Senate stays Republican, House goes Democratic. Trump's maybe a lame duck, but it's not as if he's having to veto stuff that's dropped on his desk, because that's where it gets really ugly.
You know, and look at this here, like you think about this latest holdup, and I guess the funding for DHS only is like a 2-week funding. So I guess this discussion comes back up. But this is one of the multiple reasons I wouldn't do good in Washington. But if Chuck Schumer's holding me up on this funding, I would have said, you know what, because I think body cams are a good idea. I'd say, hey, body cams are a great idea. I agree with you, Chuck Schumer, Senator. Here's what we need you to do is at the same time take money out of whatever you're spending on and allocate the money over to DHS to pay for those body cams. I agree with you. You're great. So please put the money up here and let's get it done.
Yeah, I like that play. I think
I'd get run over crossing a street in Washington, be some kind of bad car wreck I'd be in. But yeah, that's what I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, this would be House of Cards and there would be no more Sean. But other than that, it would be completely fine. I think the big issue in Washington right now is Democrats are I think, baiting Republicans to nuke the filibuster and just get rid of it. And they're sort of taunting them, trying to get them. You see Senator Tuberville saying, get rid of it, get rid of it. I am vehemently keep the filibuster, make them talk. You don't need the zombie filibuster, but a talking filibuster is a good thing because Democrats are thinking, you know what, the political winds are in our favor. Let's get them to nuke the filibuster, and then we'll take advantage of it. And I don't fall for it.
All right, Cameron, people want to continue the conversation with you or check out Music of Wasted Bacon or all things Cameron Smith, where do they go?
Wherever you stream, that's where you can hear or see any.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. 251-343-0106. All right, get right back to it here. Check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. And, man, how many units was it? Like, we talked on Monday, 80-something plus on the lot?
Yeah, we've got 70 out here ready, and we've got another 10, you know, getting inspected, and it's still in transit. So, yeah, the inventory is fantastic right now. And, you know, it's tax time, whatever else. People call it every year. We never know what's going to happen. But we're ready for people that are getting their income tax or people that are just looking for a really nice car, truck, SUV. I've got a bucket truck out here. We've got a one-ton crew cab truck. Anything you could possibly want, we should have it.
All right. Let's talk about financing options out there right now. You got a lot of people vying for our business.
Yeah, the rates are really good right now, and we've got terms up to 84 months. So, you know, that'll get the payments down. But, I mean, if you want to finance one for 48 or 36, I mean, that's just as good. We'll do whatever you want to do and make it we'll cater it to whatever your needs are.
All right. Tell folks how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call, 251-375-0068, or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. Let us know what we can do for you.
Thank you, David.
Have a good weekend.
You too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Yeah, weekend's still a ways off. We got a few more days to get through here. Let's go to the text line here. Blake says, it's Chris Elliott and... Chris Elliott and Rhett Marquez have always seen Beekeeper as something of a left-leaning organization. Oh, Baykeeper. Okay, your voice detected Baykeeper as somewhat of a left-leaning organization, but they certainly gave credit where credit is due here. I applaud them working together on the common goal, politics aside. It's Captain Blake, and then said, I add to it, it's good to see Republicans taking up environmental causes where historically issues of the environment seem to be lower on their list of priorities. It is elsewhere, but I think, you know, we have this different kind of vibe here in the South that, you know, and I've been lumped in and been called a hook and bullet environmentalist. That's fine. Whatever you want to call me, we all kind of want the same thing, right? So I think, and I do think you can do both things. I think we can have a maintenance of the ship channel. At the same time, we work on, you know, not dumping more sediment than's normal into the system. Adam said, Sean, Rhett's polling numbers don't surprise me. He's been a state legislator for 8 years. I had never heard of him until he got in this race, but I don't understand his fundraising numbers. I wonder why Katie is supporting him other than that he is younger. Let's see. There we go. This texter says, Epstein is not dead. Okay, there's that. And then went on to say, it's too late. The Republicans have proven they cannot be trusted. And this is all capitalized Trump style. I'll never vote for any Republican ever again. How often does a town come out to help the little boy crying wolf? The Republicans are the boy who cried wolf. Let's see. From IT Jesus sending me a lot of blank text. I enjoy that, but not much to read there. Let's see. This from Christian Orange Beach said, understanding why ICE wear masks is the simplest thing in the world to do, but take the camo off them and put a big Dayglo police sign on their vest. Well, you know what I said on the mask thing that Schumer was against? Just put an N95 mask on them and say, hey, listen, we want our agents to be safe from coronavirus, so they're going to put these masks on. Let's see. Butter knife. Come on, Sean. Come on, man. Come on, Sean. They have the money to buy body cams. I know this, butter knife. You hadn't figured out that I could be sarcastic. So they did not want them wearing body cams. Target searches on body cams look great, but they're a violation of Fourth Amendment. Just checking IDs wouldn't look so good. And this texter said, either turn your kid tranny or support forever wars. There's no in-between until the boomers die off. Put that on a throw pillow. All right, Scuttlebutt Radio Network, they're next. Y'all have a great one.